Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is taken from our Gospel reading from John chapter 7 with an emphasis on these words. Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me, as the Scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." This is our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. From the medieval Roman liturgy, there is one particular sequence which has been preserved in both Lutheran and Protestant traditions due to its beauty not only as a melody, but also as a confession of the Christian faith in the third member of the Holy Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. Often referred to as the Golden Sequence, but more recognizable by its Latin refrain, Veni Sancti Spiritus, this piece has become a staple of Pentecost Sunday and a treasure of the Church, used to articulate the Holy Spirit's indwelling and work among the faithful redeemed. Now, two of the sequence's stanzas summarize in poetic prose the means by which the Holy Spirit leads us from death to sin to life in Christ. Translated roughly from the Latin, those stanzas read, "Without your Spirit, there is nothing in man, nothing that is not harmful. Cleanse that which is unclean, water that which is dry, and heal that which is wounded." These words jumped out at me because it's apparent that throughout the Holy Scriptures, the Spirit is frequently seen using water to communicate the will and the work of God in relation to humanity. And at each and every turn as we see water in Holy Scripture, that work, apparently, is to bring about the gift of life. In Genesis, the Spirit hovered above the raging waters as light and life was spoken into the chaos. In the flood, water purged the world of sin for 40 days until the dove showed Noah that the dry ground was once more fit for habitation. At the Red Sea, the people passed through the waters unharmed to emerge on the other side as a people living not under the yoke of slavery any longer, but a people living under the care and providence of Almighty God. For the people of Israel, water was often used as a covenantal symbol, which was employed to wash people and property alike and to present them as ritually clean before Yahweh. Christ himself often spoke of the importance of water. He would use it frequently as an illustration in his teachings. For instance, in John chapter 4, which we explored just a few weeks ago, he prophesied to the Samaritan woman at the well and said, "Whoever drinks of this water," that is the well water, "will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a font of water springing up to everlasting life." Now at the time, Jesus was not clear as far as what this water was that he would give. But in our gospel lesson for today from John 7, he fully expounds upon his meaning. He says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." It concludes, "This he said about the Spirit." And it is this detail, friends, which is quite extraordinary. Jesus promises to the man who is spiritually parched, the man who is in fear of death, he promises them to be himself their eternal drinking fountain. I'm quite serious when I say this. The miracles of old, which were carried out by the Holy Spirit, worked to point people in a certain generation toward the realization of their promised Messiah. And now, in John 7, here he is. Here he is fully realized to them. And what does he do? He offers himself, he offers them life in his name. Here is the Christ himself promising life in him through his Holy Spirit. Life which spills over like water for sinners. Sinners who thirst for the fullness of his salvation. But in this text, we see there is still just one catch. For it says, as yet the Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. At this point in time, the Spirit had not yet come and revealed himself to the disciples as he did to the Israelites of old. They had not yet heard any kind of rushing wind. They had seen no mighty flood, no olive branches or parting waters. As the disciples waited following the ascension of their Lord, they had only the various eyewitness accounts among those gathered to inspire them the recollection of his salvific act. Yet, as they gathered on the feast of Pentecost to be in the Word and to gather together in prayer, something strange began to happen in their hearing. The Scriptures record that the apostles did indeed hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind. But this was followed by a visible sign attached to it, tongues of flame which appeared above each of their heads and served as the mark that the Holy Spirit was with them as Christ himself had promised. But this was not all. For as many of them as received the Spirit also began to open their mouths and speak in foreign tongues. They began to proclaim in every language the works of Almighty God. Now I want you to recall again the promise that Jesus had made when he said, "Whoever believes in me, as the Scriptures said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." The life-giving water, we see, is preceded by the hearing of the Word. The Holy Spirit is present among his hearers to open their hearts and minds to receive the gifts of Christ Jesus. As the disciples spoke and as Peter preached his famous sermon, something yet more miraculous happened at the end of our text. Something more astonishing than the tongues of flame. Something more profound than the speaking in foreign tongues. Following our text for today, near the end of Acts chapter 2, it is revealed that some 3,000 souls heard the word which was preached by the disciples, and they received baptism into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then with these 3,000 baptisms, the Christian church on earth was born. The greatest miracle of Pentecost was not a miracle of wind and fire, but of water and of word. Once again, we see that the Holy Spirit used water to create life in some 3,000 men, women, and children who heard the word of Christ preached to them. And now, as we remember this day, as we celebrate this Pentecost Sunday, many of us are no doubt calling to mind our own baptism, where we were sealed in water and word. You see, dear friends, the reason that the Pentecost miracle far outshines all other miracles which came before it is that it is a miracle which is still happening to this very day. Whereas the signs and the wonders of the Old Testament were done for a specific time, place, and people, the waters of holy baptism have been given to people in all times and all places. We in the Christian church are partakers of the rivers of living water that were promised by Jesus. Each of us who were baptized into him have been given this gift of life which he promised, and we have been given it in abundance. Each time we hear the word of God proclaimed for the forgiveness of our sins, life and salvation, we have that same assurance which carried the apostles, that because we are baptized into Christ, so does his Holy Spirit rest upon us. So does he feed us. So does he nurture us. So does he work faith into our hearts. So are the words of the prophet Ezekiel fulfilled in this congregation when he says, "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall all be clean from your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you." We, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we are members of a mighty succession which began with Pentecost some 2,000 years ago. We are living members of a living Christ because he has called us to life in him. Each and every one of us were born into sin. We were born into the wilderness, children of wrath, enemies of God. We were each and every one of us spiritually parched and by virtue of our sin made only to return to the scorched, dry dust of the earth. But to each of us, as we're born into sin, has come the good news of Christ crucified. To each of us has the font been opened, and on each of us has the Holy Spirit descended, never to leave us in this mortal life of labor. Thus, as members of a living church, we remember our baptism. We hear the word. We receive that gospel which is preached to us, spilled out on us like water for sinners. And we join our voices in that great Pentecostal refrain, Veni Sancti Spiritus. Come, Holy Spirit, rain down your grace on us from the baptismal waters. May we who have been so watered, may we who have drank from the cup of Jesus Christ, may we never thirst again. In his most mighty name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in the same Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.